Good evening, church. Tonight, we're going to talk about the topic of trusting and the hope of eternal life, and we're not looking at this as if it's some type of vague wish, right? We're looking at this with some type of confidence rooted in the assurance that God has promised us, and we're going to start off by looking over in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So it starts off by saying, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So let's talk about your day-to-day life just for a split second, right? Because if we're going to trust in the hope of eternal life, we first have to trust, don't we? So How do you start to lose trust in someone? What's the quickest way that you could lose trust in someone in your day-to-day life? I kind of came up with two best examples that I could think of, but generally if somebody lies to you or if someone doesn't keep a promise, right? You generally, at that point, you start to have difficulty believing what they're going to say, right? You say, maybe I'll get something done for you here in the next 20 minutes, and then it's like, well, it's an hour later. How's that coming? You're going to start to think, well, next time I'm not going to believe that 20 minutes, right? For Star Trek fans, that's why Scotty always oversold himself. You know, I'll do that in 4 days, gets it done in an hour, right? But this is the whole thing. God cannot lie, and he has made a promise of eternal life to us. And this is reinforced over in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 18. But let's start in verse 17. It says, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So verse 18 tells us again, it is impossible for God to lie. But let's keep going. Let's expand on this. When it talks about the heirs of promise, it's speaking to those of us who have obeyed the gospel and have been added to the Lord's church. God made an oath. So what is an oath? Did he just make a promise to keep a promise? An oath is more than just a promise, right? There's something more to it. An oath is characterized, if you were to look this up in the dictionary, for example, it's characterized by deep sincerity. This is a solemn promise. It reinforces his immutability. It reinforces how he does not change. If all of this doesn't start to give you hope, well, let's keep going. Our country has seen its fair share of refugees, has it not? And now look, I'm not going to get into the politics of all this, and there are games that some people like to play with our system. Let's consider the true refugees, the people that are truly fearing for their lives. They have fled their homeland. They didn't just leave, they fled. And they honestly needed some safety that we are now able to provide for them, right? And so they place their hope in us as a country to provide them with that safety. Now, let's bring it back. Our country is full of luxuries. And it's hard to maybe sometimes put ourselves in the same mindset as a refugee. Have you ever placed your hope? Have you placed your hope in God's promise? Have you fled for refuge seeking his shelter? If so, you likely have what it describes here. You likely have that strong consolation, the comfort that only he can provide. Now, let's go to the very next verse, though. Very next verse, verse 19, it then tells us what this hope can do for us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. I probably butchered that name. Forgive me, but we all read it. We saw it, right? So the hope is an anchor for the soul. Why do ships have anchors? It's to keep them in one place, right? It's to keep them from moving around. Growing up in Corpus Christi, I can attest to how good the waters are down there for surfing. And I'll tell you, they're not good for surfing because they are calm. Isn't that right? And in fact, it's quite the opposite, right? When a hurricane is coming, guess what? That actually attracts people from all over the nation, probably even other countries. It attracts them down there to Corpus to go onto their beaches and go surfing because of the extreme difficulty of the water to surf on. That water is not easygoing water. It is hazardous. And when the storms of life try to push you around, you're going to wish you had an anchor to keep you steadfast. And the hope that we have as Christians is just that. All right, so now you're probably thinking, that sounds great. I'll take a dozen. Well, do I have news for you? Do you want to abound in this hope? Because Romans 15, verse 13, it tells us exactly how we can have this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have joy and peace, which, by the way, joy and peace, they're fruits of what? They're fruits of the Spirit, right? Well, joy and peace produce a fruit of its own in abundance, and that fruit is hope. By the way, what is joy? This is maybe a side note, but what is joy? Is joy happiness? Are they the same thing? No, happiness is not the same. Happiness is an emotion, and emotions are fleeting. They come and go at the whims of life. Joy is not based on your circumstances in life, but rather, we receive joy by trusting in God. And yes, this means you can be joyful in good times and in bad times. So, because we have God's eternal promise in life, we can maintain our joy. Let's check out 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. In reference to the armor of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it describes the hope of salvation as being our helmet. And what's your helmet protecting? Your helmet's protecting your head. What's in your head that's worth protecting? You know, I feel like as a kid, I was told this all the time when I wanted to go ride my bicycle and I did not want to wear my helmet. You got to protect your head. That's where your mind is, right? This hope of salvation. It is our helmet to protect our mind. This hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life, is meant to give you an anchor by which your mind can stay steadfast. Now, let's maybe put this back into the context of what type of helmet they are thinking of, right? They're not thinking of a bicycle helmet. They're thinking of armor, the armor of God in particular, right? And in battle, you probably don't want your helmet to be penetrable, do you? That's what the hope of eternal life can give you, though, a strong mind to prevent anything that the world throws at it, causing it to potentially go off course, right? You're protecting it from that. So, one last thought for you tonight. Can you know that you have eternal life? 1 John 5, verse 13 says that you can. It says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." All right, so that's great, but how can I know? So we go on. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. "Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us." That is eternal life. Now, listen. None of us are perfect, are we? Are anyone here? No? Bueller? Okay. No one's perfect. What matters is that we strive towards obedience. Some of us may have more trouble with this than others. I want us all to keep something in our back pocket tonight. Let's all go look at Romans chapter 11, verses 22 through 23. It says, "Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Now, this is in the context here of Jews and Gentiles. But I want us to maybe leave this on the screen and everyone maybe flip over to Galatians 6 verse 1 real quick while we do this. Galatians 6 verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lost." Considering yourself lest you also be tempted. So, what we're seeing in here is there is the possibility of restoration. So I want you to know that you too, just like the Jews of the time, they need to be grafted back in. You too can be grafted back in. So if there's ever that little voice in your head telling you that you've messed up so badly that you're beyond saving, that voice is lying. You can be restored. So hold on to this. And now remember, this is not an excuse to go off and do whatever you want. Remember, you go off and do whatever you want, not do what God's saying, then in the meantime, you're still cut off. And no one's guaranteed tomorrow. So that is not an excuse to just go off and do anything. You need to remember, for one, is it easier to fall down or is it easier to pick yourself up? It's easier to fall down, isn't it? So we need to do our best to stand firm and not fall down. For those that do not have this hope of eternal life, tonight, I want you to understand there is a plan of salvation for you. All must hear the gospel, that's Romans 10:17. Must believe the gospel, John 8:24. Repent of our sins, Acts 17:30, and confess our faith in Christ, Romans 10:10, then be baptized, Acts 22, verse 16. It's here that you may now have your blessed assurance. But know that we must continue to remain faithful unto death. And we typically refer to Revelation 2, verse 10 for that. But Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22, they talk about you who are once alienated but are now reconciled, you need to be blameless and above reproach in his sight. But then let's look at verse 23 real quick. Verse 23 talks about remaining faithful by saying, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded. And there's that word that we've kind of had throughout the lesson tonight, that steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So tonight, we do offer you an invitation. An invitation for those who do not yet have this hope of eternal life, but also an invitation for anyone who simply just needs the prayers of this church family. So if you have any needs, we offer you an opportunity to come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.